I have with me today, Band-Aids. I have the dreaded hairbrush. Tweezers. You're going to be very unhappy, but you have to go home? No. I don't even know what this is. Okay, I picked it up. Well, not this thing. What's this thing?
That's a pick.
Ah, pick. Okay, right. This is a comb. Okay. And, of course, your trusty...
Well, that we don't do something.
That you're okay with. Okay, then, sure, that's your pick.
Just can't get on the airplane here.
Right.
So I will preface this here by warning you, maybe, Drawer, you don't want to hear it. Okay. Eddie, I can also guarantee that Eddie Cash has no problems with this year.
Oh,
there you go. Okay. So today we're going to learn about the malacha of gozeis. Gozeis meaning shearing. And shearing obviously is what they would have to do in order to get wool. Okay? So the question is, what does shearing encompass? So shearing is the act of removing hair from any live or not live animal. Or human being counts as an animal. So it's the act of removing any, not just hair, but any piece of living skin or something of that nature, as we'll soon see. Okay? So included in that is going to be obviously taking a haircut on Shabbos. You can't cut your own hair. Pulling out hair on Shabbos. Okay? And things of that nature, as well as, let's say, I don't know, is there anything that you do with the dog, Cheryl, that would pull out hair on the dog?
Brushing it.
Yeah?
No.
No, of course not. Okay. Well, I don't know. Maybe sometimes there are... Well, soon, that's why I brought the Band-Aids. What is Band-Aids? What's wrong with a Band-Aid?
Hold your hand.
Ah.
As you take it off.
We'll talk about that.
Does that
include
nails, too?
What?
I'm talking about nails,
too. Well, let's see. We're going to discuss all of these cases, okay? Hanota Kiparnov Zubazu. Let's say you take off your nails, like you want to use their, I guess they didn't really have very exacting things, and you know, if your calcium count is low, it's easy to do. You use one fingernail to take off another fingernail. It could be done, right?
Oh, yeah.
Bishinov, I don't know anybody who bites his nails, do you? No, mm-hmm. No.
Would you like an example?
Yeah. In the sorrow. Or if you pull out your hair. You know, some people have a nervous habit of plucking their whatever.
Oh, gray hair.
What?
Gray hair.
We're going to talk about gray hair in a second. Okay. V'chein zekano is beard, right? No. You do this, sometimes, you know, you get a good one, you get a good little yank. Not a good idea. V'chein ha-kocheles. Kocheles is a woman who puts on rouge or makeup. Kocheles is another kind of makeup. Rabbi Eliezer Mechayev. Rabbi Eliezer says, in each of those cases, you're chayev d'araisa, okay, for plucking your whatever, or for biting your nails. Mechachamel osrim yishum shivus. And Mechachamel forbid it, not d'araisa, but just the rabbana. But in either case, we see it's clearly forbidden to bite your nails on Shabbos. Did I take that big one away? Some people turn on lights without knowing it, too. You know, I mean, you're right, but it's just a matter of I think I scared away all the other people. That's what happened.
They're still trying to figure out on their coffee.
All right, they're working on the coffee. Okay. What? Tie shoes was easy. Okay. So let's just so. What do you mean? You should tell the Shabbos? Tell you all the things you couldn't do when you got home. Okay. Okay, so the minimum either is a d'oraisa or it's a d'rabbana, but either way, it's not allowed. Says the Gemara, I'm a Rabbi Eliezer. Machlokes biyad. The argument about whether it's d'rabbana or d'oraisa is when you do it biyad. You're pulling your nail with a hand. Aval b'kli chayav. Okay? So, but if you trim your nails, if you just happen to pick up a knife and you're like, trimming your nails, or I probably even shaving them, that's chayav. I don't know about shaving them, probably also. meaning that's a bioraisa. It's the bioraisa of gozes, of shearing. Zimar says, Shita, that's obvious. Zubazu tonight. Zimar says, no. It says, if you take off a nail, zubazu one nail with another. Mahu detema. I might have thought, Rabbanan bekli nami petare. Rabbanan also said you're not chayav, it's only the Rabbanan with the kli. How did you, Johnny, zubazu? And the reason why it talks about if you took off nails one with another, and the teacher, just how strong Rabbi Eliezer was, that he even in that case says you are chayav of the araisa if you do with one nail with the other. So comes to teach you that in each case they're talking about with your hands, but everybody agrees that if you did it with a kli, if you clipped your nails with a kli, you're araisa. So can we all agree not to use a nail clippers on Shabbos? That's easy. Okay, fine. What? That's easy. But biting nails? No problem? Right. Some people have that problem, but you're not supposed to do that either. What's that?
Sometimes I don't even realize I'm doing it. It's horrible.
Since what?
I don't even realize I'm doing it.
You do it instinctively?
I just don't realize I'm doing it until I start doing it.
Oi.
Yeah. I don't know.
Somebody I can send you to, maybe. It's a different problem. Okay, anyway, sorry.
Put something bitter on your nails.
You know how we solved the problem with Leah? We put tape on her nails, on her fingers. She was stuck in her fingers.
Yeah.
And so finally we put tape on them. We got this special, like medical tape.
Yeah.
And so she didn't like sucking it. It tasted terrible. So then that solved the problem.
Can't
sure you could. You can't type with Band-Aid on?
Oh, it's terrible.
Okay. So let's look at the Rambam. The Rambam is source number two. Hagozei shemer osear, one who shears wool or hair, dei min habehema, whether it's from an animal, dei min hachaya, whether it's from a beast, dei min hachay, dei min hames, whether it's alive or dead, afilu min haselach shelahem, okay, even when he removes these substances from skin, chaya. In all those cases, you are chayav. So if you, for some reason, have a dead chicken, and you decide you're going to start plucking your chicken, that's gozei, that's shearing. What happens if you cook the chicken? What? Oh, come on, don't tell me you haven't sitting at a bar mitzvah once or twice and the pheasants are coming.
So what do you do?
What do you do? Yes. No, the feathers are not considered feathered anymore. We consider, as Dr. David said, they're part of the food now. So then there's no problem. It's not a problem of gozes anymore. Once you cook it, you can't shear it anymore. Right. But if it were me, there's an element of borer. Yes, absolutely there's an element of borer. So then the only other solution would be to take the skin off because that's already separated. Or, if you don't want to eat the feathers, instead of plucking the feathers out, remember we learned borer, if you take some of the good with the bad, so let's assume that in this case the feathers are bad, not all of us eat feathers, okay? Fine. Yeah, really. For the comic relief. Okay. So, therefore, you would cut off a piece of the skin that you like to eat together with the feathers, then you're okay. Okay? No, I don't know. I mean, Drury, remember when you grew up and you used to pluck the feathers off the chickens?
Yeah, I used to do it.
Oh, but it takes forever. How do you get it? How clean could you get it? Right. But I'm saying, how long does it take? It took forever, right? What?
The women, the shochet had a woman.
Notice how the man is saying, the women did it.
The shochet, the Rabinovitz had about five or six women in the back, and we'd come and pluck it for us, and then we'd take the chicken, pluck it, then we'd get the
washing. How clean was it, by the way, when you flipped it? You got it clean, or as clean as you get them today?
But we had a little
Right, it sends it out and it sends there at all.
Right. It
moves
in the feather, right?
Really?
Yeah.
Before you salted it?
Yeah.
Before you salted it? No way. It'd have to be after you salted it.
My mother was in charge.
Your mother was in charge. I'm just wondering. So, okay, anyway, so when you get the feathers at the bar mitzvah, you're allowed to take them off. You don't have to enjoy them unless you really want to.
Turkeys can, usually your old turkeys have still feathers in them.
Yeah?
Yeah. I respect those.
Who's that?
Who's father? Turkey. I bought it
in the first time. Yeah?
His father was the turkey.
Okay.
Right.
So to do any of these things is chayav. Now, I'll just tell you, by the way, let's say you owned a mink stole. Okay? And you found in your mink stole a couple of not good-looking hairs in your mink. You couldn't pluck those out either, because what a mink stole, really, it's alive. It was an animal that was alive, right? And you're shearing, in a very real way, you're shearing off of the mink. So you're not allowed to do that either. And that's a serious thing of gozes, which is one of the many, many reasons why we don't own a mink stole in our house. But, okay, it's another issue.
One of the many.
I have a mink coat.
Do you? I've never seen you wear it.
It's in a good place.
Oh.
It's so good. You
what's the point of having it if you're never going to use it?
I don't show them on the corner.
Oh.
They get to see
your
name.
Okay.
I'll be here if I can get exchanged.
Okay. Kama shiuro, what is the measurement for which you're liable? Kedei letavos mimenu chut. Enough to spin a thread that is twice as long as the width of a seat from it. And how long, which in English is the width of a seat? And this is from the thumb to the first finger when they are extended as far as possible, two-thirds of a zeret. So, about this long. Right? That, how much wool do you have to shear in order to be chayav de al-raisha?
You said the first finger. You just did your pinky.
First finger.
No,
the thumb to the
and your first finger.
First finger, like this, Rabbi.
How do you know exactly how many this is the first finger? I know, I'm kidding. Okay, fine, just fine.
Okay.
Fine. Also, so then he says, how tolesh kanaf min ha'ok, how raise it to let it go. It's a person who shear tears off the wing of a bird, a derivative of shearing. Okay? Skip to chet in the Rambam. Ha'notel tiparnav o sa'aro o shfama o zikna. A person who cuts his nails, his hair, his mustache, or his beard. This is a derivative of the forbidden labor of shearing, and one is liable. And that's if you do it with a kli. So if you accidentally wake up in the morning and you start shaving on Shabbos morning, and you go, right? So aside from the electricity, which is less of a problem, the shaving itself, the act of shaving, is a problem of gozes. But don't do that. I've never heard of that happening. But, you know, I've heard of people waking up and not realizing, not remembering that it's Shabbos morning. Like, you get up and you start doing your thing and you realize, hey, what day is this? Mm-hmm. You know. Okay. Aval, but, in natzlo biyado, if you pulled it out with your hand, bein lo, bein la'acher, whether you're plucking your own eyebrows, you're plucking somebody else's. I don't know. Okay. Pater. You're exempt. If you cut off a wart, yabelad is a wart. Bein b'yad, bein b'kli, whether by hand or with a hopefully a razor. Pater, bein lo, bein la'acher. Whether you do it for yourself, or okay. But pater means, what's pater again? No, pater means pater aval aser. Very good, right? Means you're not chayv a korban. That's your right though, but it's chayv midrabana. Okay, blah, blah, blah. Let's skip to page 3. Shimon Shin Mem. Okay, so now we're going to go to
page 2, right?
Haircutting, page 2. Am I this at page 2?
Yes. You meant.
I don't know, I don't feel tired. Okay, page 2. Source 3.
Yes,
okay.
That's what
he said. Kama dini midvarim ha'asim b'sabas ke'ein todos me'avos. Some things that are like similar. Similar to the av and the toda. Asher vitol sha'aro o tiparnav, bein biyad, bein bikli, bein la'atmo, bein lachem. So we saw this in the Gemara, in the Rambam. You can't take off nails, you can't take off, pull out hair, You can't take off. We're going to see also skin. Right? This is also a habit, especially in the wintertime, right? You got dead skin on your, oh, here we go, dead skin on your fingers. And so, just as a habit, you're gonna do that. You're not allowed to do it on Shabbos because that's a toledah, a derivative of gozes, of shearing. But you got
to
make you wear gloves. You're going
to
put on gloves on Shabbos.
That's it, and tape them on, and that's it.
Well, it's a nervous thing, isn't it? I mean, but we're just talking about a sense, what? We're just talking about creating a sense of awareness.
Right.
Okay? Gimel? Where the Gimel is? V'chayev al stei saras. If it's two hairs, that's chayev, that's chayev d'araisa. U'malakeit levanos mitoch shechoros. But let's say your beard is black. You're getting that little bit of gray. Yeah, the one gray. Afilu ba'achas chayev. Then even that one is chayev. So that's the difference if you pull out one gray or two black hairs. Why is it two black hairs but one gray hair? No, no. That's a good, interesting. I didn't think of that, but okay. Why? What do you think, Larry? What's the difference is one gray hair versus two black?
Well, you want to get rid of the white.
Oh, good. Because then, when you want to get rid of the black ones, your goal is to shear, to get rid of, right? So the minimum is two to create a melachat machshava, so you have to get rid of them. But even when you have the one gray one, the idea is you're not trying to clear an area. What are you trying to do? You're trying to get rid of that one gray. So in that case, one is chayav. The davar zeh, afilu b'chol asher. He says, but you should just know that this is also prohibited to do during the week. Mishum lo yilbash gever simrat isha. Right?
What?
You didn't know this? You ever heard this?
No.
You knew this? What? You knew it, right, Steve?
Yeah, and also men, that's why men can't dye there.
Correct. Men are not allowed to allowed to pluck their gray, and you're not allowed to dye your hair either. Embrace the gray, you know what I'm saying? And I would venture to say, I'm not a posik of this caliber, but hair weaves and all these things, you know, we're talking about, the reason is because women are supposed to engage in things and are supposed to care about their personal vanity. That's the way they're made, and it's a natural tendency of women. Men, on the other hand, are not supposed to. I mean, you're supposed to look presentable, but there's a big difference between presentable and beautifully coiffed, as we say. So it shouldn't matter. You have a gray hair, so what?
Transplant.
Hair transplant, you mean?
For one gray hair.
Right. For one. What do you mean? To do that?
Yeah.
What can I have to tell you, off the halacha, onto commentary. I always felt bad for men that felt the need to do that. First of all, what? You see a guy, you know, like, we judge ourselves so much by the way society teaches us that we're supposed to look. And you hear these ads, especially in, you know, when you're on the sports radio, you know, especially in New York, we used to have them. Do you hate the way you look? You know, do you want to feel younger or whatever? You know, is it really all about that? About, you know, having a full head of hair or not having a full head of hair? What? And people spend, not millions, billions of dollars on this. And the saddest part is, it's so obvious afterwards. You're not fooling anybody but yourself.
Are you saying that by halacha you shouldn't do that?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
How about our wig?
What?
Man's wig.
Okay. I would say the same, except one situation, there was a gentleman who lost his hair suddenly to a disease. And in that case, the rabbi told him that he could, I'm pretty sure. Because in that case, it had to do with reminding him of the disease, of a certain psychological effect. But under normal circumstances, don't get me wrong, but one, two, three, you know, we're all getting along. I don't know how Larry's doing, but he wears the hat. There you go. Four. Okay. It's okay. It's okay. You know.
So you just keep buying bigger yarmulkes.
That's right. Why don't you wear these big yarmulkes? It's okay.
Especially when there's nothing left.
The key is really.
Hold on.
The key is to learn two things. When playing basketball, wear a hat. The yarmulke doesn't stay on anymore. And in addition, you know, this is the way God created you. So you want to be nice, you want to look presentable, but that's okay. It's all right. You know, there's nothing wrong with it. And so the same thing about gray. Some people gray prematurely, but it's not a symbol of, you know, old age. Unfortunately, in today's day and age, and apparently with Tam Shulchan Aruch also, old age was a curse. Anybody who looks old, you know, they throw you away now, right? As long, if you're not between the coveted advertising age of 24 and 27 and a half, you're an old geezer and you might as well, you know, already you're overbrutal. But it's not that way. You know, we have to learn to value ourselves and our ages. And not, you know, you see a gray hair, you want to pull it out. You're not supposed to do that. It's a symbol of vanity. Okay. And size, whatever. Oh, Shabbos for sure. Right, but he says you're not allowed to do it anyway. It's also anyway. So I'm just going to read the Mishnah Berurah because he gives a nice little summary. Oh, there's English there also. The Atah now, Nivaer b'mikzas din melechas geziza. I'm going to just give you a short little synopsis of the malacha of shearing. Hagoze shemer or seyar. If you shear shemer, wool or hair, they mean a behema, they mean a chaya, whether from an animal or from a beast, chaya. The kama shiur lechiyov, how long is it? Kedei l'tvos b'menu chutz arko, in order to shear a hair, a thread, whose length is kov l'arba tfachim l'arambam. Four, enough, about four hand breaths according to the Rambam, like two times this, okay? Four tfachim, this much. Well, the Rashi Masri said, going to Rashi half that width. How many shearing would you have to do in order to get that amount of thread? Very, very low. Minimum. Don't shear on Shabbos. It's not a good idea. Hachiyov sel gezizahu, I'm where the base is. So the obligation too, when it's culpable for shearing, ben shegoz min hachai, or ben shegoz min hames, whether you shear from the living or from the dead. Afilim min hashelach shelahem, even from the shelach, which is haidu, this or shenu shamina behema. Let's say, for example, you have a piece of parchment. So the original parchment, it comes from skin that's taken from the animal, and that skin has hair on it. So what do you want to do? You want to, you just start plucking off the hairs, right? Not allowed to do that. That's prohibited. The davka gozeis chiyuvo b'chol gavne. Aval tolesh min hachai pater. That's only if you shear it, but if you start plucking, then pater. Pater again means pater avalasha. You're not allowed to do that. The ain derech litlos misum dekayivla, ella ligzos. Okay, but because nobody plucks, they shear. Is that true, though? By the way, some things are derech ligzos to pluck. What is something that's normal to pluck?
Chicken.
No. Well, carry up. Well, yeah. What else? Come on, ladies.
Eyebrows,
sure. Right? I mean, this is one of those insane things that ladies do, but they take apparently tape or what is it, hot wax or something, and go, and it sounds like it hurts. What?
I think
yeah. Right? So that's darko bekach. So, if, you know, aside from the problem of cooking the hot wax or the tape or whatever it is, you shouldn't do that on. What? Oh, yeah? So you're not, that's darko bekach. That's the way you normally do it. So that, it could very well be a deal raisa. And in its normal way, it could be a deal raisa. Okay? Valkane. See what the little chet is, Valkane? Therefore. Odam b'nei adam, hamudubashim ba'ora shabahim b'vachaya. Those people that dress in skins of animals, tzvichim b'hizahir, is to be careful, shalo yitlishu mei ha-se'ar shalahem b'shabas. So who has to be careful? Very rich ladies, and who else? Chassidim. Of course, yeah. Shrimal is made of animal fur. So you have to be very careful not to pluck any of the animal fur on a Shabbos. Okay. Ubuseva Chassidim also likachakinim min ha'oros. I understand. Ubuseva Chassidim, apparently, they had serious problems of lice. You know, from the skins, not the animal skins. Okay. Okay, and this is all true of behemoths and chayas. Of al ofos, but birds, darka mahashir notos ayide kalisa. With birds, you are plucking all the time. Kamoba behema ayide geziza, like an animal through shearing. Ulefikach, toleish kanaf min haof. Therefore, if you pluck a wing from a bird, they may chay and they nacham. If you take our feathers off, chaya. So that's the halachas of shearing. Can we all agree, don't shear on Shabbos? Okay? Evan, you're okay with that?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So the same thing go for like lens point, lens off.
Like no. Why not? So you have, I got a little like these hairballs, right?
Yeah.
So there might be other issues with these, but this is not. This is not Gose's. Why is this not shearing?
Gose's.
Didn't grow there.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying? So we'll talk about whether you can do this on Shabbos. There might be other issues. But it's fair. It didn't grow there. It's only, because shearing is only a problem if it grew that way. So this is, by the way, a very important thing for other halachas. Another halacha is, what about a shaita? Right?
What if it's synthetic?
What if it's natural? We're going to see in a second. We'll talk about it. Because did a shaito grow that way?
No.
No, I mean, hopefully they didn't take the skin off the lady. You know what I'm saying? They didn't scalp her. Right, they didn't do that. Okay. So now let's go. We're going to go to more interesting, more relevant halachas, because we're not going to shear. We're going to go to relevant halachas about nails and skin. Skin and nails. Okay? Shiparin Shapirsha. So now we said you're not allowed to cut your nails, which you're not allowed to do on Shabbos or Yom Tov, and also you're not allowed to cut your skin. You're not allowed to do that. But what happens if a nail, what's it called again? A hangnail. The nail comes off. So there are different kinds. The chichin, shehang kamin ritzuos dakos, small pieces of skin. Shapirshu mehor ha'etzba, shaviv ha'tziporin. Okay? They come up like around the fingernail, right? And this happens every now and then. Im pershu ruban klape mala umitsaros also. If most of the nail has become split off and it's causing you pain, then lahashivam biyad mutar. What does mutar mean?
Permitted.
You're allowed to take them off. Bechli pater avol aser. So you're in shul, I guess, right? And you bump into something, right? I'm prefacing for a reason. Okay, this is just a theoretical example. Okay, I got a little hangnail. Okay? I don't know. It's never this clean.
No, a hangnail is not. These are skin. These are fine. What you're talking about is
if you tore the nail. Okay? So now, most of it is already off, and it's like... And
the nail is hanging.
Right. Okay? So then, you would be permitted to pull it off, since most of it was already hanging off already on Shabbos. Okay? Well, am I shearing? So how do you answer? Isn't shearing prohibited? The answer is this is only Durabanan. And the rabbi didn't prohibit it in certain cases where we would be anguishing to you. Moreover, the rabbi is also paskin that if it was mostly disconnected already, it was already ketalus dummy. It was already as if it was had already been separated. So therefore, you were allowed to do it.
So what about an ingrown hair?
Ingrown hair?
Yeah, the hair. You know,
that's a medical condition, though, isn't it? Disinfected, couldn't it?
It could. Yeah.
Right. We'll see a doctor. If it's real, I mean, it can be very painful.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah,
what
yeah.
Pull out.
Right, exactly. Well, see a doctor. It could be very painful, and if it's possible to be infected, I think that would be a different kind of issue. Okay? But it's interesting, not everything medically, that you'd have a medical shayla about how painful it is, how difficult it is, because remember, you're plucking out a hair.
Right.
You know, it sounds simple, but it really is not. It's not a simple thing. Okay. So let's say, you know, sometimes you have like a piece of skin coming off, okay? I don't know, I'm not gonna mutilate myself. Okay, you get the point. So you have a piece of skin coming off. So sometimes if it's fallen off already, then you can pick it off. But sometimes it's just a little bit, right? So you have to leave it alone. And I have to be honest with you, from personal experience, it's very hard to do.
Mm-hmm. You start focusing on it, no matter what you do.
It's very hard to do.
Right.
Yeah. So, okay, we do our best. Okay? No piercing. Ruban, if it hasn't come off, mostly, the yad, patra avalasher, the kli chayv chatas. If you do it with the hand, it's forbidden drabanan. If you do it with the hand, with the kli, you're chayv chatas. So, again, it all depends on how much of it has fallen off already. If the skin is almost off, then you're allowed to take it off. If the skin is not almost off, then you're not allowed to take it off, and you just have to leave it alone. Okay, and hope that the skin comes off enough that you can then take it off. But remember, these are Hakal Shabbos. Okay, next, page 3, please. Now we come to the biggie. Okay? I want you to go home tonight, take your hairbrush, and examine it. Okay? In it, I guarantee you, I will bet each of you $100 that in it you will find
hair.
Okay. So, we're stuck with the problem. When somebody does this is my husband, Rush, on Shabbos, right? You're organizing, you're arranging your hair in a very nice way. But you're also doing something else. All the unintentionally. You're shearing hair. And, well, you know, you could say, well, since I have no hair, nothing's coming out. But it's the other way around. It's more susceptible to pulling. Okay? You're shearing hair. And there are no two ways about it. Guaranteed. Yeah, Eddie?
You know when the women use those little nylon, little teeth that they have for washing when they use the Shabbos or whatever to clean?
Yeah.
You know, I used to have a hairbrush. When I did that, I didn't get hair. But then my wife has got, you know, torn off. She bought me one of those things. And I can't even use it for brushing my hair.
I understand. It's got...
It's almost, you know, the teeth are so far apart with...
I know what you're talking about. It's an oval, like an oval with
a...
No, it's a regular brush.
Wait, I don't understand. You're using a dishes brush to brush your hair?
It's almost...
A toothbrush?
I know. It's almost like a dishes brush. it doesn't pull off my hair.
At all? Ever? Never?
Well, I don't know that one. Never.
Ah, okay. Well, let's see. So it says, this is Shimon Shin Gimel, says the Mishnah Berurah. Asur lishrok b'mashrek b'shavis. Okay, you're not allowed to brush your hair with a brush on Shabbos. I'm sorry if this is news to anybody. I think this is one of those things that everybody kind of intuitively knows but prefers not to actually know about. But it's a problem. And I'm going to give you the solution. There is a solution that the Mishnah Berurah gives you, but you have to know what it is. Okay, v'afilu osa she'osi mishar chazir. Even those made out of pig's hair. I guess no. Back then they used to have different kinds of brushes: boar's hair, horsehair brush, and some, even the horsehair one was particularly soft, right? And probably the pig's hair was even softer than that. Why? Okay? It is impossible that you will not pull out hairs. That's the nature of the business. Says the Ramah. He says, but you can, you know, smooth it out with your hand, right? You can make yourself nice with your hands. Now, well, there is definitely a difference between brushing your hair with your hands and brushing your hair with a brush. That's why they created brushes. But, well, we'll leave it.
Can you not also pull out hair while you're doing that?
What do you mean?
When you're doing this, you know, with your hands.
Is there a certainty that it'll happen?
No.
Okay, so this is really the issue. The question comes up, some say, well, this is what's called a psik resha. I think we had this term last time we learned. Right? There's a term in halacha called a psik resha. Psik resha means, let's say, there are two terms. Let's say, I'm going to do an action, and the result of that action, something's going to happen that I don't want. Do I want my hair to fall out? Do I want to brush out my hairs on my dead hairs or whatever when I brush my hair? Well, Eddie could say no.
You don't want your hair to fall out when you're brushing your hair with your fingers.
No, not with your fingers. Let's say you brush your hair on a Tuesday morning.
Right.
Do you want dead hairs to end up in your brush?
No. Yeah. Why? Because they're dead. It's dead anyway.
Well, they came out of the roots.
Right.
And you're... want to remove the dead hair.
Correct. Let me give you a bad lawn analogy, right? So every so often, they come around and they with this big machine, and the big machine is essentially a huge rake, and the goal of this rake is to remove all of the dead grass. Why? Because the good grass can't grow when all the dead grass is taking up the space. So first of all, in reality, when you brush your hair, one of the things that's healthy about brushing your hair is it's removing all the bad stuff. Right? That's a healthy thing. Aside from that. So it's not so clear that when a person brushes hair, they don't want the dead hairs out. But there's a second thing involved. Let's say you didn't want it at all. Okay? I don't want it to remove any hair. Nonetheless, so in halacha, that would be called a davar she'eino miskaven. It's an unwanted result. So the halacha looks at it in the following way. If it's an unwanted result that's not definitely going to happen, then you're permitted to do the act. Okay? If you're not sure that it's definitely going to pull out hairs, if you weren't sure, then you'd be able to brush your hair. Because that would be considered a davar she'eino miskaven, and you wouldn't want it to happen. But, if you notice, look at the language of the Shulchan Aruch. She'i'afshar shelo ye'akru she'aros. it's impossible that hair will not be pulled out. If so, that's what's called apsik resha. What's apsik resha? So there's a halacha that we mentioned before called apsik resha. Let's say, well, I really want that chicken head to play with as a toy. My son likes to play with chicken heads. Okay? Right, he likes to play with it. So he doesn't have a chicken head today. So I'm going to kill that chicken. I'll cut off its head. And my son will play with it as a toy. Am I allowed to do that on Shabbos? No, why not?
Oh, no.
Because it's sweet. But I don't want to shech the animal.
You still have to in order for it to play with the head.
Ah, that's what Gemara says. Shech reisha velo yamus? You're going to cut off its head and it's not going to die? You're not allowed to kill chickens. You say, I don't want to kill the chicken. I just want the head. That's okay. Sorry, that's called a shech reisha. It's the same here. You say, I don't want to pull out the hair. I just want to brush my hair. So that's a no. That's called a shech reisha. Sick ratio is forbidden and it's not allowed. Okay? So now let's look at the Mishnah Berurah. So he has the Peibav 86, and you can follow it in the English also. Okay, therefore, af in eno mechaven b'tlishat hashayar, even though he doesn't intend to pull out the hair, gamtein asur, it's forbidden. Why? To have a sick ratio. It's what's called a sick ratio. A sick ratio means, like we said, like cutting off the head. Uba Gemara, the Gemara said, one second. Uba Gemara, ma'ita d'chola shorek l'hashir nimin hamadul galin. Okay, someone who brushes a little bit. Okay? To remove loose strands of hair that are not detached, now they're not totally attached. Mitkaven kidei l'hafir heitev sa'arav. He only intends in order to separate his good hairs from the bad hairs. When after minim is there, da'fil b'masrek rach, even a soft brush could go and brush raka, like a soft brush. She'ein upsik reisha, gam kein asura. Ilo b'open she'ein mechavim hasher hanimin hanal. Okay. Kras of the Sefer Yeshuas Yaakov. I'm in the third line, the end of the third line. It's written in the book Yeshuas Yaakov. Ra'iti anashim makirim lisrok roshan b'Shabbos. He says, I see people that they comb their hair on Shabbos. I mean, you'll go into any shul bathroom, in any Orthodox synagogue in the country, right? And some guy will pull out his comb, and meticulously, you know, first of all, he'll wet it, which is another issue. And then he'll just, you know, pull out the comb.
Nice.
Beautiful. Put the yarmulke back on and you're ready to go. Okay? Am I wrong? No, right?
Never seen it here?
I've never seen it here either, but I've seen it in other shows. Okay. It used to be a thing for men to carry a comb around in their pocket, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Used to be? In the 80s? Okay.
You lend me your comb.
Okay. In the 50s too, right? 60s. Okay. B'kimat nasa hadavar keter etzlam. It's like mutter. You know, some things people just do, and they just do them. V'oy le'inayim shekach ro'os. It's a great day. What can you do? La'avor bish'at nefesh v'chalo sabbos bi'adayim. See, and these people, I mean, sometimes there's a principle of, it's interesting. Somebody sent out an email. We have a rabbi's email list from the RCA. Somebody sent out an interesting question. He said, I have a shul. Here we are. We were sitting on Rosh Hashanah. And in my shul, many of the people, they drive to shul on Shabbos. They drive to shul on Rosh Hashanah. So he said, you know, and there he was, and they were announcing the fast times for Tzom Gedalia. And he wondered to himself, he said, you know, most of these people never heard of Tzom Gedalia. And now that I tell them about Tzom Gedalia, they're not going to fast on Tzom Gedalia anyway. So he said, would it have been better that I not told them about Tzom Gedalia? Because of the principle, there's a principle in Halacha called Mutav Shiyu V'Sogigin V'Ayu Mizidin. Sometimes it's better people don't know. I'd rather they do it the sogeg by accident as opposed to doing it b'mezid on purpose.
Don't you have an obligation to tell?
Right, so my answer to that was, well, you're the rabbi of the shul. You know, you have to announce when the fast days are. That's what I personally tell. But here you have, you know, the whole world combs their hair on Shabbos and brushes their hair on Shabbos. So is it better that we not tell them, or is it important for us to educate them and that they should do it the right way? I don't know, it's a very interesting question.
A lot more serious than eating
so he's telling not to drive on Rosh Hashanah?
before you get to the Tzom Divinah, you tell them that they've had a Rosh Hashanah.
Don't drive to Rosh Hashanah
and the Tzom Divinah. That's true.
It's responsibility to see that he sees another year doing something incorrect.
Yeah. Only if what? Only if you think he's going to listen to you. Yeah, if I saw you doing something wrong on Shabbos, I would walk up to you and I would say so. Why? Because I know you would say, wow, thanks, I didn't know that. Because you value Shabbos. You think it's important. But if someone doesn't value Shabbos, they need to walk up to him, you know. Imagine a guy comes out of Federation Departments. Like it happens all the time. I'm walking to Shul on Shabbos and some guy comes out and gets into his car. So I go up to him and say, excuse me, sir, I'm really sorry to tell you this, but you know, it's Shabbos and you're really not permitted to drive on Shabbos. What's he going to tell me?
Good Shabbos, Rabbi.
Yeah, you know. That's a tricky thing. So now what happens if you tell people, it's interesting, we have a mentality. It's one of these things. We're Shomer Shabbos. But there are things that we do. You know, just stuff. So I think that, you know, I think he's absolutely right. The Yeshua Yaakov is right. So there are things that they do. People, they know in the back of their mind that brushing hair is like a thing. But, you know, Ms. Kisharla. Yeah, it's, you know, it's worse to drive on Shabbos. But still, says, why may I in Melech Tach? Labor b'shad nefesh v'chala Shabbos b'yadayim. It's a problem. U'meharai l'chol chacham b'iro l'hazir al zeh. Since the rabbi should get up and chill, should I get up and give the drasha to speak about brushing hair on Shabbos? What?
Never watch it.
Why do you say that?
I don't think a lot of people appreciate
being
told not to brush their hair.
But I know
it's necessary.
I mean,
tomorrow,
it's
okay.
What?
It's okay in this year, like today.
Right, a Hilchos Shabbos here, you know what you're in for.
We have a fairly knowledgeable congregation.
Yeah.
People have a sense with. If you got up and said, I really think it's very important that everybody here take it upon themselves to eat only Hak Yisrael, and if you don't do that, you're doing a horrible thing, people would know that you're pushing something on them that you really shouldn't be pushing on.
Okay.
And if you said, on the other hand, something is, by all authorities, is
this is universally accepted. There's no, like, you know, arguments about
this. This is universally accepted. I think people here would listen to that. People here would know the difference between pushing something and
then... Let's ask the president. How well do you think it would be received if I would give a dress about not brushing your hair on Shabbos?
A lot better than when someone's saying blowing Cheerio dust on your matzah when you cover it with a piece of paper towel.
All right. That's another issue. I don't know. Okay. I don't know. You know, it's funny. It's interesting. The things that I talk about that are, you know, out there, principles and whatever, that are broad and that are broad, that everybody, nobody has any problems with. You know, you talk about chesed and, you know, right, kibur and things like that. When you hit home and you see the people squirming in their seats, it's an interesting question. So that's my job of trying to, you know, it's interesting in that, on the one hand, the job of the rabbi is to tell people what the right thing is to do.
Well, like the onion. You know.
So I gave a shiur about an onion.
Right.
How many people came?
Those who came.
Is it really? And is it a really big deal to wrap the onion or to leave the skin on?
Something I wasn't aware of before. You made me aware of it. Now we do something different.
Okay.
With peeling eggs on Shabbos.
But there's a difference because in a drasha on Shabbos, you didn't come to shul on Shabbos for the rabbi to tell you what not to do.
But by announcing it, people have to realize there's something wrong with it.
I don't know.
If you're going to be giving a shear on it, people
it's an interesting
should
question.
Realize it.
Oh, no, if I give a shear, she meant, though, from the, to give a dress on child this morning.
But I'm saying it's the same thing. If you say, I'm giving a shear on this, then people, even if they don't come to the shear, have to realize there's something wrong with it.
No, the shear was our onions kosher.
That was the name of the shear.
Okay. All right. Okay. Umeharai, so he says, it's worthwhile, l'chol chacham, I don't say a chacham, but the rabbi, the iro, his city, l'hazir al zeh, should warn people. Ula yishmu v'ikhu musa. Maybe they'll listen. So maybe I should talk about it on Shabbos.
You've talked about bugs and lettuce and things like
okay,
that.
Okay, maybe they'll listen. I don't know, maybe they will. Ad kanvar. Umashir Mashirin, what do people answer? Mukhrach, we're talking to Alosa. They say, I have to comb my hair. Why have to comb my hair? Well, I slept on it on Shabbos, and it was wet, and I woke up, and it was like all over the place. I can't even do it with my hair. I don't have enough hair to go all over the place. Okay? It was all crazy, and I had to do something about it.
Okay? That's why I came up with that hairstyle, dead hair.
He says, "Hello, Yachol Laasos." Hello, Yachol Laasos. The Ofen Haheter. He says, "There's a permissible way of doing this." See, isn't it? The Mishnah doesn't say tough. He says, "There's a permissible way of doing this." Canal. He's going to tell me if she's cut and pay Zayin. I'll explain. Right? There's a permissible way. We're going to see in a minute. Umilvad Kolzer. Aside from all this, Hello, Yachol Lachov Ulafase Shalosu Bayad. You could do it with your hands. And enough smushing. If you really want to, enough smishing, right? You could use a little bit of water, not to douse it, but a little bit of water and a little enough smishing, and your hair will be straight. It's not going to be perfect. It's not going to be coiffed. It's not going to be, you know, like you just went to the hairdresser, but it'll be good enough. It'll be fine. It'll be okay. And thank God, and I mean this 100%, thank God we live in a congregation, we have a congregation that really doesn't care about these things to a large degree. You know? There we go. You know, unfortunately, there are congregations in America where people walk home and say, "Did you see what she was wearing? He was wearing? Yeah, they were dressed." And I've never heard anybody say that about our community and our entire community. You know, thank God it never reached us in that way. So it's such a big deal. You know, it's a set of a perfectly, you know, and for us gentlemen, as soon as you put your towels over your head the first time anyway, that's the end of that. So what's the big deal? Nonetheless. Okay, but lama yavor isu chamor bazeh biyadayim. Why? You don't need a brush. You can do it with your hands. And, you know, it's interesting, because I was preparing for this on Friday night, and I got up Sabbath morning, and I tried it. Nobody said anything. Was my hair particularly disheveled this Sabbath? Oh, I'm sorry. What?
Men don't notice those things.
Right? Wait, yes you can. Yes you can. You see, yes you can. We'll see in a second. Hey Zion. So you can't use a brush because it's going to pull out your hair. When we call makom, nonetheless, mutar l'takein ma'at et sa'ar harosh mikri ha'asim misar chazir. He says you're allowed to fix it up a little bit from this kli, from this brush that's made from what they had pig's hair back then. The davka l'shrok asur bo. You're not allowed to comb. You're not allowed to run the hair, really run it through the comb or the brush. Demeshir sair pulls out hair. Avalatakein ma'at shari. Batakein ma'at means to fix it a little bit is permitted. Permitted means mutter. Ubumashrek, but with a comb, asur afbazet. With a comb, with anything with hard bristles, where the hair could get stuck in it, you're not allowed to do. Okay, okay, you should have it set aside for Shabbos. Wait, so let's one second. Skip to page 4 for a second. Combing or brushing hair. This is from Rabbi Ribi. Combing or brushing hair is the malacha of gozes, because the act of combing or brushing will inevitably pull out hair. We saw that in the Shulchan Aruch. And it's considered a psik resha. So we saw that also. This presents a serious dilemma for girls and unmarried women. It's interesting. Rabbi Rivia had no problem, but girls, unmarried women, and married women, and men, and everybody. Okay? Anybody who brushes their hair, who do not cover their natural hair, and feel the need to brush and style their hair. Okay? And anybody else who also feels the need to brush and style their hair. However, there is a permissible method of brushing hair on Shabbos. A, the three conditions of permissible brushing. Okay? They are, one, soft bristle brush. And we say soft means very, very soft. You know what I'm saying? You can buy them. Usually, you know what the softest brushes are?
Baby ones.
Baby brush. Yeah, absolutely correct. Okay? Two, gentle brushing. You can't use the baby brushes to start, you know, because you're going to pull your hair. Same way. And three, Shabbos brush. Okay? One, soft bristle brush. You have to have all three conditions. Only a very soft bristle brush, preferably a baby brush, may be used. A pink hair brush is also acceptable. I don't know, do they sell those even anymore? I don't know. However, a stiff brush is prohibited because the bristles are firm and inflexible. Thus, when the bristles become caught by a knot in the hair, some of them will almost certainly be pulled out by the soft bristles, as would happen when using a comb. However, with a soft brush, the bristles will usually bend before pulling the hair, if the brushing is not vigorous. A hair pick may not be used because it is similar to a comb. Right. Same thing. You're picking your hair, you know, it's strong. Right? And if it encounters something, it's gonna pull the hair out. Two, gentle brushing. The brushing must be gentle and only at the top of the hair, not close to the scalp. If the brushing is too vigorous or too close to the scalp, it is likely to cause hair to be pulled out even with a soft brush. And three, Shabbos brush. The brush to be used should be designated for Shabbos use only. So that's why you have a Shabbos brush. So then you can fix your hair. You know, if you think about these things, this is not, you can't, you know, sit there and start, you know, working it over. But if you do these conditions, so you can't comb it the way you normally would, or brush it the way you normally would, but it's probably enough to make it presentable to on Shabbos especially. And I think that, you know, we talk about this idea of being sensitive to halachas of Shabbos. These other things, you know, it's easy when I come to the shir and I know I do it already. Ah, this I do, that I do. See, any cat has no problems with this shir, this, you know, this one.
Don't bother me one bit.
Okay.
Why Shabbos is so
he says otherwise it's considered ubd the call. So if you have a brush set aside for Shabbos, then it's not an ubd
the
call.
Explicitly considered it and rejected it.
You mean because say the gentle brushing as opposed to, he must be
right.
Saying, you know, gentle as opposed to heavy brushing. Right. You know what I'm saying? But he says this, the Mishnah Berurah says clearly, as permitted. Why? Because he wants to take you down from a psik resha to a darvish in the miskabin. And the way you do that is that it's not going to be definite that hair will fall out. It might. But it might not. And once it might not, then again, then the act itself is not prohibited. Okay? So that's, and you got to walk on grass? I'll give you a good example. Can you walk on grass, Mary Machavis?
No.
Of course you can.
But aren't you worried about pulling out the...
Does every time you walk on grass, it pulls out grass?
No.
Possibility. Do you want to pull out the grass?
No.
Right. That's exactly the point. The act of walking out grass does not, by definition, mow the grass per se.
If you have an option.
But they do say there was women, what you're thinking of probably, women in high heels, right, digs in all the time. But I have issues with high heels in general anyway. So again, this is one of those times where you come to a shir and you say, and you have to really say, you know, this is going to be one of those challenges. Because we all encounter challenges that are on the periphery of our Shabbos observance. So we're shomer Shabbos, we keep Shabbos, very important to us. You come to somebody and say, you know, like that.
Have you ever seen something labeled Shabbos brush?
No, but I've seen baby brushes.
No, I know that.
You know, you don't have to label it.
Obviously.
You don't have to label it, but you designate it and use it yourself. And it's not the size of the brush per se, but the firmness of the brush or the softness of the brush, et cetera, et cetera. I want to conclude. Do I have time to have a minute or...
Yeah.
Looking into a mirror, okay? So I want to go back. It's interesting. We talked about looking into a mirror. So remember we learned about men plucking out the gray hairs. So you just know that there's a halacha from the Shulchan Aruch on the top of page 5. Simon Kufnun Vavim Yoredeo. We're out of Hilchos Shabbos. We're in everyday Shabbos. These are the laws of wearing women's clothes. So men's not allowed to wear women's clothes. You're not allowed to dress up like a lady. You can't make up your hair. You can't do a lot of things you're not allowed to do. One of the things that the Shulchan Aruch says is, Asun Ishti Yistakel B'Mara. A man is not allowed to look in a mirror. It's very interesting in the Shulchan Aruch. You know that? Yishum Lo Yilbas Gever. Because it's like wearing women's clothes. Unless it's for health reasons, to go to Shechosh, right? You know, you're afraid of your eyes. Osim Mishaper Atmo, you're giving yourself a haircut. Oh, I'm Mishaper Obel Chavim Beinola Beinola, and Andrew's giving you a haircut and you don't trust him, so you want to watch him. They were very worried about these things. Okay? Hadar, but the Ramah, so in the Shulchan Aruch, in the Sephardic tradition, you're not allowed to look in the mirror. Why are you not allowed to look in the mirror?
I said, wow.
Why?
Because of that mimicking
or anything? Yeah, what do you think you look like?
Gee,
now, what's your answer to that?
Of course you do. You want to be groomed properly. You don't want to walk around with dirty face, do
you? So brush your face. Wash your face. What do you think? What? Well, with me. Ah, okay. So Haggadah, Ramah writes, V'yesh amim hada asir liros b'mareh. What does that mean? That's only the place where only women themselves wear, you know, look in mirrors. And then that would be the violation of wearing women's clothes. But in places, in communities, in countries where the men also look in the mirror, then it's permitted. So I would definitely include America in that, that we have mirrors in the men's bathroom, the women's bathroom. Like you said, it's not an issue of vanity, it's an issue of presentability. And again, that's also a big difference for men on Shabbos. You know, you have to, what's the fine line between vanity and permissibility is this versus this.
Are there actually any Yehudim who follow the Mechaber?
I don't know. It's an interesting question. It's a good question. I'm going to ask my friend Rabbi Cohen from the Sephardic Shul if they have mirrors in the men's bathrooms. Maybe they cover them up on Shabbos. I don't know. It's a good question.
I was a counselor at the camp, and there were no mirrors. And there was a big fine.
Sounds like a B'nai Akiva camp.
No, it was Masad.
Masad?
Masad.
Okay, by the way, you should just know that's a good motto anyway. Ha'ofi yotzeh chasuv mehayofi. Can you translate for everybody? Translate.
Your personality.
Your personality is more important than your vanity. Okay, I just wanted to, the reason I showed you this, I wanted to show you because Rabbi Ribiyad in his book, he says it differently, okay? Look down, a man, however, contemporary mirror, second paragraph in English, are no longer designed with any cutting edge. There is no basis for their use. A woman is therefore permitted to observe her reflection in a mirror on Shabbos. A man, however, should not gaze at his reflection in a mirror at any time because of Torah law of lo yilbash, which prohibits a man from donning a woman's attire or imitating feminine mannerisms. A woman is likewise forbidden to dress in men's attire or to adopt masculine habits under the Torah law of lo shilbash. Gazing at a mirror is a characteristic feature of a woman's cosmetic preparation. Okay. So now, you notice, by the way, who does he quote? Well, Mechaber. So he says in the bottom, according to some poskim, a man is forbidden from gazing at his reflection in the mirror if this is a habit of both men and women at the time. Nevertheless, it is considered improper for men to have this tendency. Yeah, exactly. So that's exactly what I wanted to point out to you. So he says some poskim, he says it's like, you know, really not allowed to look in the mirror. But, you know, if you really have to or whatever. So I wanted to show you his footnote. So he quotes 18, the men are not allowed to look in the mirror, right? 18, fine. He goes to Shulchan Aruch Yerideya that I mentioned to you before. Okay? He says, Ava, see in the footnote? Ayin b'ramah. See the footnote over there? Look in the ramah. Shekata v'yesh omim, some say. T'chamachav shederach ha'anashim b'rot gam kein b'mareh mutter. Okay? He says, in Karen, they stop it b'mdina shenu. I'm not sure in our country, shim yesh tzad kula. Maybe there should be a kula. In Neymar, shekei noagin ha'anashim gam kein yisaka b'mara. Let me ask you, is there a custom of men to look in the mirror in America?
Yes.
What's the topic? I don't really know. So he says, but some, whatever, he says, the Marsha says, it's Asher, look at the second last line. V'lachei, therefore, b'shnim ha'sefer b'lashon shekatabti, in the book, in the language that I wrote, Natiti v'tzad chumra, I was more machmir. Avagav v'lachora yesh tzadim l'hakel v'dover. So I just wanted to say, you have to look at the footnotes. He says in the top, in the main book, men are not allowed to look in the mirror. But if you read the footnotes, what does he say?
It's okay. It's
but they are. Right, yeah, but they are. So, you know, you have to know how to read a book and also with the footnotes as well.